don't you? Amen. Well, I want you to take your Bible with me this morning, if you would, please. Look in the book of 2 Timothy. I want you to go to 2 Timothy with me. 2 Timothy, and we're going to be in chapter number 2. Now, we've been talking about, for the last few weeks as we started this year, talking about the church and can the church thrive in 2025? And I believe that it can. I believe and I know that the church can thrive. So you and I can just find our place where the Lord wants us. We can see things change and go to a positive place and to a better place. And man, the Lord can do some things with us. So look here, if you will, in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And begin reading with me, if you will, in verse number 1. And this is Paul writing to that young preacher. And he said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Let's have a word of prayer today. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the morning. Thank you for the good songs, and thank you for the fact that we know we can have that great peace of God. Would you just be a blessing now in the remaining part of our time together? May we continue to worship you and lift you up before this great group of folks here and before this world, and just let them know that Jesus is our Savior and that we love you and we thank you. We praise you for all things that you do. And Lord, if there is somebody here this morning that needs salvation, speak to their heart, show them their need, give them grace, and save them by that great mercy and salvation that's only found in you. We'll praise you for it today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As I said, we've been talking about, can the church thrive in 2025? And today, using these verses, I want to talk about this. I want to talk about the conflict in the thrive. The conflict in the thrive. There is conflict, all right? I mean, I don't think you have to look very far in this world to realize that there is conflict all around us. I mean, just look, particularly if you will, today in our world situation, and you see conflict on every hand. There's conflict among nations. There's conflict within nations among peoples. There's conflict from one side of the globe to the other. There's conflict in homes. There's conflicts at work. There's always a perpetuity of conflict. Seems like anywhere you go, there is conflict. And can I tell you, I really think this. I think the devil strives on conflict. If he can, you know, you think about that song Brother James is just singing. Hey, wouldn't we all be better, and isn't what we all want peace, right? Peace, peace, wonderful peace. And I'm telling you, we're not going to know about peace until we get things settled with the Prince of Peace. And even then, as a Christian, you're in a time of conflict. I mean, and what I mean by that is exactly what Paul is saying here to Timothy. You're in a battle, folks. You're in a battle. I don't know whether you realize it or not, but when you get saved, it's not like, pow, I've hit the finish line and everything's over. There is a time and a continuity, a continuing of conflict in our life, because now you're in a spiritual battle. There is a battle that brews within the spiritual world that you and I just can't help but be part of. I mean, we just can't help it. So, you know, Paul is writing here to tell Timothy some things and get him to see some things. In chapter number 1, and we're not going to take time to read that, but in chapter number 1, Paul tells Timothy that he is to retain the standard that has been established. Can I tell you, we're supposed to keep what's been set down for us through the ages before.
There are things that are Christian values, Christian foundations, Christian standards, and you and I are to maintain those things. Not up to me and you today to change anything. God didn't say, well, see what you can do. I've given you a Bible, and if you want to, change it how it suits you. No, sir. God's given us a standard, and He said, I want you to retain, I want you to keep, I want you to go forward with that standard. Amen. And then here in chapter number 2, beyond where we read, you'll see that Paul tells Timothy that you and I, in looking at the Word of God and all the things that He's given us, we are to rightly divide the Word of God. Rightly divide the Word. In chapter number 3, Paul writes and tells Timothy that he needs to realize that troublesome days are ahead. You know, he said, this know also that there's going to be perilous times, and he goes through all those things that he mentions there. He tells him that. And then in chapter number 4, he says, but above everything else, he said, I want you to have a resolve to keep on preaching the Word of God. Amen? Preach the Word of God. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the day will come, he said, when people don't want to hear the sound doctrine out of the Word of God, but they want some little silly, mealy, nothing, and they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Can I tell you, we're there today, right? We're there today. But in chapter number 2, he begins to talk to Timothy about, as I say, rightly dividing the Word of truth. But in the beginning of this chapter, where we read, especially verse number 3, notice what he says to him. He said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be soldiers in a battle. And whether you know it or not, you are a soldier in a battle. And you see what he says to him? He said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? When he's saying endure hardness, that word hardness, we would probably say today hardships or times of trouble. I mean, that would be our way of thinking of it. We'd say, well, this is a hardship. This is a tough thing. This is a hard place to be. And Paul said, I want you to know, Timothy, you are to endure those hardships, those hard times in your life. He didn't say, well, now, you're just a poor little pitiful fellow, and you just can't, and, you know, we're going to excuse you. No. There is no excuse for any of us. We're in a Bible. You're in a battle today. You're in a spiritual battle. And let me tell you, the devil wants to mess you up all that he can. He's after you. He's after your family. He's after husbands. He's after wives. He's after kids. He's after everybody in your family. He wants your mamas and your daddies and your cousins and your aunts and uncles. He wants to get a hold of everyone that he can and destroy their lives. Amen. I don't know whether you realize or not, you woke up in a spiritual battle this morning, right? You woke up in a battle. I mean, listen, and there's some things in speaking about this battle that I want us to notice. Maybe just three things, if we'll look at those, three things that I come across, that come across my little bitty mind, that I think are some of the big battles that you and I will have to go through as we're in our Christian life. And the first one is this. I want you to know, I think one of the biggest battles we contend with is that there is a battle against your mind. There's a battle against your mind. In Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 8, one of our favorite verses that we like to quote and think about and look at, listen to what Paul says. He says in verse number 8, Philippians 4, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. This is where your mind should be. Paul also says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I mean, you and I are in a battle in our minds many times. Do you realize you get in a battle in your mind, and it may not necessarily be appearing to everybody else on the outside of you, but it sure does seem like a major thing on the inside of mind, your head. I mean, boy, the devil will come at you, and he wants to have a battle against your mind. And as I say, there's some of you going through some things probably right now. And you've got a battle on the inside of your head. There's a battle going on. Let me just tell you some areas where the devil will hit every one of us and try to... Now, look, he can't get your salvation. The devil can't get you unsaved. The devil can't... But he sure can aggravate you in a whole lot of areas in your life. And especially in your thinking. He can get with you in your thing. And, you know, there's probably some of you down through your lives, there's people that said things to you and they have kind of molded and shaped the way of your thinking. And, you know, I've never really thought about this much, but I've had people tell me, say, you know, my parents told me I never would amount to much. I never would be nothing. I never would have anything. Nobody would ever like me. Nobody would ever do a good thing for me. Nothing good had ever come my way. I mean, and there are people that are like that. Now, you know, I'm praising God that didn't happen in my life, but that doesn't mean that it hadn't happened in your life. Well, you're just a dummy. You don't know nothing. You'll never learn anything. You're ignorant. You're foolish. You're worthless. You're this and you're that and you're that. And let me tell you, that works on your mind. And I'm telling you, the devil's after us in all of those areas. He would like for you to stand up and tell your kids that. He'll put some thoughts on you and say, why? That's just another mouth for you to feed. They're worthless. They're not you. Look at them. They can't do nothing. They ain't old enough to get a job. They're just a drag on you, and they're this and that. Brother, let me tell you, that works on your mind. And the devil's after you. If he can get in your head, if he can get in your thoughts, if he can get in that way, he's in your home. And then you start splurting out all this stuff out of your mouth, and it brings some real issues into the family. And you know what? You keep telling your kid, he's dumb, he's ignorant, he'll never amount to anything. After a while, he'll begin to believe it. I don't care what else happens, and it doesn't matter what's necessarily underneath the surface. That's the way that things like that begin to boil and fester and blow up and get done in people's families. And it's because the devil sits back and laughs when those things happen in a family. But what I was going to say is this. When those things begin to happen, do you know what that brings into our lives? Your thinking can get you into a place where there is anxiety in your life. There is anxiety in your life. When your mind begins to work and those things are told you and those things are perpetuated within your thinking and those things are there in your mind all the time, it begins to make you anxious. It begins to make you kind of tighten up. It begins to make you, as I say, you begin to think the way that somebody's told you that you are. Amen? I mean, it begins to get with you, and it begins to, as I say, begins to shape and mold and form your life. And it brings some anxiety into your life when you get into some situations and say, oh, I better not say this or say anything or even be seen because everybody will think I'm stupid. Everybody will think I'm a dummy. Everybody will think they'll look down on me and they'll think that. And those anxieties can pop up in your hearts and your life. And there's probably some of you here this morning, that may be a real truth in you. It'll bring anxieties. Not only will it bring anxieties, it will bring its close cousin with it, which is stress in your life. You begin to feel the stress and the pressure of being around people and being around situations and being around just anything. And it begins to press on because the devil's whispering, see there, you're nothing. You're nobody. You're worthless. You're no good. You're not up to par with the rest of them. You're this and you're that. Brother, let me tell you something. Hey, that's a bunch of hogwash from hell and the devil wants us to believe it. But the Lord says, thank God, think on some other things. Amen. Get your mind on some other things. There is a battle for your mind. As I said, it brings anxiety. It brings stresses. And I'll tell you what that'll do to you. It'll bring you to the place where you begin to have temptations in your mind.
Amen?
Amen? I mean, that devil will begin to whisper, well, why don't you just leave that marriage? You're not doing any good anyway. Why don't you just get rid of them kids? Why don't you just walk off and forget it? Why don't you just quit and give up? Why don't you just leave that church? Because there's nothing. Oh, ain't nothing going to ever happen good to you. Can I tell you? He'll whisper and tell you some things in your mind, and the temptations will begin to come. The temptations will begin to come. Do you know what the... And you say, well, preacher, now, you know, why would the devil tempt me? Can I tell you, the devil tempted Jesus. And we're sure not above him, are we? We're nowhere close to him. But hey, if the devil attempt Jesus and try to get him to do the things that he brought, if you remember when the devil comes, he says, why don't you just speak to these rocks and tell them to come? And Jesus said, let me tell you something. He said, I know the Word of God, and the Word of God does not say for me to do that. The Word of God says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus had been hungry. Jesus had not eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. And surely there was a hunger on his body. But thank God he still remembered. The devil's the devil. He's a liar. He'll mess with you. He'll tempt you. Amen. Amen. And he's still the same today. Amen. And if you remember, he said, well, if that don't work, he took him up to the pinnacle of the temple and he said, jump off. He said, because doesn't that Bible you keep quoting, doesn't it say he'll give his angels charge over you unless you dash your foot against a stone? And he said, devil, it's written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Can I tell you, when you go back and look at it, and Jesus answers the devil, and he tells him, oh, I'll show you all the kingdoms of the world. You can have all that. Hey, can I tell y'all something? Jesus already owned all that. Amen. He is the heir. He is the king. He is the Lord. It's all his anyway. But the devil said, if you just bow down. And he said, uh-uh, devil. I ain't worshiping nobody but the God of heaven. Amen. Can I tell you? Hey, he wants to mess with your mind. And if he'll come and mess with Jesus, he'll mess with me and you. He'll bring those temptations. He'll bring those thoughts. He'll bring those issues. He'll bring those failures. He'll bring those sins. He'll bring all those things that he can. And he'll say, look at you. You're nothing. You'll never be. Oh, this is all against you. You're just miserable. You're nothing. You're no. But can I tell you, the Lord said, I love you and I'm here for you. Amen. Amen. I'm just telling you, there is a battle. And listen, here's what Paul is telling young Timothy. He said, endure those hardnesses. There are some things you're in a battle for. And can I tell you, friend, the battle is worth it. Can I tell you, in this battle in your mind, when the devil's telling you, oh, just curse your kids and forget your kids and get rid of them and write them off and forget. Can I tell you, the Lord saying, no, I love them. I want to save them. I want to bring you up into a good family. I want to make you rock solid in the things that God established your names in heaven. Amen. I'm telling you, we need that, don't we? The devil's going to have and I want to tell you something. Remember, if you think about that little incident I'm talking about where Jesus is tempted. And if you'll see, I think it's in the book of Luke. It's recorded in several of the Gospels. But at the end of the one in Luke, it said, and the devil departed from him for a season. What does that mean? That means he's coming back again. Just because you get through one issue and one thing and one place, it don't mean he ain't coming back again. He'll come back next time with fear. He'll come back next time with despair. He'll come back again with a pack of lies. He'll come back again and he'll try to get you tired and worried and wore out and fatigued in your physical self. He'll come at you any and every way that he can because it's a battle for your mind. Peter said, gird up the loins of your mind. Here's some things that you ought to be thinking about. Amen? No wonder Paul had to write this. He probably had to tell himself this, but he had to tell us. He said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, think on some true things. Don't believe that bunch of lies from the devil. He said, whatever things are honest, don't you go for this underhanded, under the table, lying and dishonest stuff. Whatever things are honest, you think on those things. Think on the things of honesty. He said, whatsoever things are just. Oh, everybody's trying to think about, well, you know, they're getting by with this and they're getting by. Why can't you do what's just? You do what's right. You live for God, hey, whether anybody else does or not. Amen. He said, whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are lovely. Amen. I mean, some things that are lovely. You think about lovely things. There's people out here and all they dream about is the hellish club scene and all the junk and garbage at some old hell hole that's out here in the world. Amen? Get your mind out of that. He said some things that are pure. Think on things that are pure. Don't get that impurity going. Don't get that old, I'm thinking about adultery. I'm thinking about fornication. I'm thinking about pornography. Get that out of your thinking. Amen? He said, whatsoever things are of good report. Let's talk about some stuff that has a good report. There's enough junk out there with a bad report. Get you some stuff with a good. I've been getting your Bible and read that. That's a good report right there. Amen. He said, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So let me say, first of all, hey, the devil, you're in a battle, and the battle is against your mind. But not only that. Hey, secondly, there's a battle against the ministry. There's a battle against the ministry. Now, Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, soldiers should be full of deeds and not just words. Amen. There's some things that you and I need to do and not just talk about. We need to do them. There is a ministry set before us. You know, Paul talks, and he's talking to Timothy there as he's talking to him about being a good minister of the gospel, about being a good soldier, about doing those things. You know, he said that you've heard among me of many witnesses. You tell somebody else and let them teach somebody else. And in other words, he said, there is a ministry to perform. There is something that needs to be done. And you'd say, well, preacher, that lets me out. I'm not a preacher. Every one of us in here has some sort of ministry that we can be involved with. Now, it may not be preaching or teaching or that kind of thing, but do you know some of you can sing? And you ought to get up here and sing. Some of you can teach. You ought to get in here and find you a room and teach somebody. Hey, some of you can talk and encourage and help others and bless them in many ways. Some of you can use your money, your finances. You can use your influences. You can use your skills and abilities that God's given you in some other areas of life. We're not all the same. We don't all do the same thing. And that's not what ministry's all about anyway. It takes all of us as the body of Christ. It takes all of us. Hey, let me tell you, you want to, he said, the devil will say this. In the battle against the ministry, you know what he'll do? He'll tell you some things that you don't need to do. First of all, the devil will say, you don't need to witness about Jesus and what he's done for you. He'll tell you that. You don't need to tell your story. Don't nobody want to hear about you. Oh, they're not interested in how you got saved. Brother, you don't know what that'll do for somebody. Be a good witness for Jesus Christ. Tell that story. And I'm telling you, tell the old, old story about Jesus, and you can tell your story in there with it too. Amen? Hey, it'll help somebody. The devil say, oh, you don't need to read or study your Bible. Hey, can I tell you, part of the preparation for being a good minister in anything that you do, you need to read and study the Word of God. You need to get it. As I said, he tells Timothy right on down here, what is it, in verse number 15, I believe it is, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Amen. Amen? I'm telling you, you need to know your Bible. Why, preacher? Because somebody's going to come up and ask you a question. You a Christian? Well, let me ask you a question. And that's the way it'll start a lot of times. Did Adam have a navel? Huh? I don't know about that one. We ain't covered that in church yet. Huh? They'll ask you a lot of irrelevant questions. They'll ask you something, try to get things off the track. But can I tell you, get them back on the track. Say, that's a good question. We'll cover that later. But let's talk about why Jesus came to save people from hell.
Amen.
Are you saved by the amazing grace of God? Do you know that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life? I mean, those are the questions you and I should be asking. And we know from this book that that's the things that are the most important. I mean, listen, the Bible said that it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what we need to be talking about. Amen? I mean, get in there and study your Bible so you'll know what is the important. And listen, I'm not going to demean anybody that, you know, I'm not going to come to you and say, will you explain the Bible to me? Well, I can't do that, and you can't either. But I'm telling you, we should be able to dig in there and study and begin to find out some things for ourselves. I told somebody here the other day, when I got saved, when I started preaching, by the way, this is my 50th year of preaching. Started preaching in 1975. And I'm finally getting the hang of it. Hey, man, it take me a while, but finally getting the hang of it. When I started out, I preached 10 minutes in my first message. Some of y'all saying, I wish you'd back up again. Well, anyway, things changed since that day. But I'm telling you, Judy Camp knew more about the Bible than I did. And I was a little bit embarrassed about that. But you know whose fault it was? My fault. You know what that made me do? Get in that book and study. Till I learned some things and understood what the... And the Holy Spirit is a very good teacher. Amen. I mean, it's okay to read after other people and study after... And I've done all that. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is an awful good teacher. Amen. And He's there. So, listen. You need to... The thought will come to you. Don't read your Bible. Don't study. Don't pray. Oh, no. Ain't no need in praying. God already knows everything. Yeah, He does, but He still wants His children to pray. He's still looking for me and you to call out on Him. Oh, listen, a battle against the messenger, the Bible, the devil will tell you, you don't need to go to church. You can be just as good sitting at home as they're down there. They're just a bunch of hypocrites down there. They don't know nothing. They don't like you. They're not going to welcome you. They're not going to do anything for you. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff the devil will tell you. You remember that one time that somebody said something ill to you? Yeah, I do. I remember a few times people said stuff. You know what I do? I just went back anyway. Amen. I think I told y'all the other night I've done that before, and I just went back to aggravate them. Amen. I just showed up again. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, hey, there is a battle. And it's a battle against your mind. It's a battle against the ministry. The devil will say, you don't need to do this. You don't need to do that. I mean, look, don't serve in the church. If you go to church, just don't do anything. Just sit there like a knot on the log and don't do nothing. Let everybody else do it. Amen. That's the worst advice in the world. I mean, get in here and worship. Get in here and sing. Get in here and shout and praise God if He puts it on you. I'm just saying, get in the church and be part of the church. Amen. Because there is a battle against this body and its ministry. There is a battle. All right, let's look at one last thing. And probably maybe more importantly than any of all of that, there's a battle against the mastery. A battle against the mastery. Now, you know, there's this part here where he says in verse 5, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. I mean, the devil, as I say, he don't mind maybe you go to church and you sit there and be a knot on log and don't do nothing and act whatever, you know. Just be quiet. Don't say hallelujah. Don't say, listen, we want, whatever we're doing, y'all desire to be a master of it, okay? There's a lot of you folks, you have mastered some things. Let me just tell y'all this. Don't ask me to make a quilt. If you do, woo, you get a mess. But if you would like somebody, go see Sister Barbara Hill. She may not know that, but she's got some mastery of those kind of skills. Don't ask me to go work on an automobile, because I'll lift up a hood and say, yep, there it is. Hallelujah. Huh? Where's your auto-generator at in here? I don't know nothing, right? But if you'll see somebody like Brother Bruce back there, he knows about automobiles. See, there's some things, hey, that you can do. And when you do them, strive to do the very best and become a master at those things. Get some mastery. Get some proficiency, some ability, if you will. Do you remember what the Bible says about David's fighting men? And it talks about, you can go through there, and we've preached on it a lot of times, about David's what? 30 mighty men. David had a whole army full of men, but there was a group that was the 30. Amen. If you was in the 30, hey, you're somebody. The Bible writes down their names. It tells us a little bit about them, but it says in one part there, it said, but these, out of those 30, had not yet attained to the place of the three. They was three guys that was head and shoulders above everybody else. You know why? Because they're fighters. They had mastered the ability to war. I mean, they knew what it was. As a matter of fact, you remember when David is fighting Goliath, what the Bible says? It says that Saul tells David, he said, this man is a man of war from his youth up. He has mastered it. He knew how to put on the armor. He knew what weapon to select. He knew the helmet to wear. He knew the breastplate. He knew all of the accoutrements. He knew everything about it. And here comes David. And he said, y'all send a little old kid out here to fight me. Send me a man. And old David said, look, you may think I'm a kid. He said, but I'm coming in the name of the Lord. And I'm going to cut your head off. Amen. And you know what? He did. What I'm telling you, though, is you ought to have some mastery. And the devil is fighting against us. It's a battle against a mastery. First of all, you ought to master this and realize, hey, that you have a duty as a soldier. Amen? Now, I've never been in the military. But those that are in the military, you know what they start doing? They say, now here's your gun. See ya. No. They take them out there on the shooting range. And they learn to master that weapon. And I don't know, I've never been around it, like some of you have. But I can remember my brother talking about it. He was in the Army, my older brother. And, I mean, you had to tear your gun completely apart. Now, I can do that. Putting it back together is a whole nother thing. Amen. But they had to master that weapon. They had to know where this pin went. They had to know where this screw goes. They had to know which part fit into which part and how it went together and how it worked and how this lever worked and how, you know, all of that stuff. Why? That's the mastery of it. You understand it when you've got that kind of thing. Brother, that was part of the duty of a soldier. Can I tell you, there are some duties for me and you today as a soldier of God. We've got some duty. God wants us to be on guard. He wants you. Hey, you ought to know your weapon. Amen. This right here is a weapon. Hey, the Bible said this is the sword of the Spirit. I'm telling you, we got the Word of God. You ought to master this thing. You ought to read it. You ought to be able to get it. And I'm telling you, I'm not no great master of it, but I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to learn. I'll say things sometimes and I think, now, where is that? I know it's in the Bible, but where is it? And sometimes I'll have to look it up, and I'll have to search it on my little gizmos on my computer and find out. And then I say, Lord, help me to remember where that's at. Right? Because I need to know that. I need to know that. You know, again, with the soldiers, they give them a little book. And that book talks about all the things that a soldier is supposed to know about the military. God's given you a book. Let's master this thing, okay? Let's go, because it is your duty. I mean, you need to realize this is your duty. Not only this, don't you realize this? You remember when Joshua is talking to his people after they've got into the promised land, the book of Joshua, chapter number 24, and he begins to tell them how they're, he said, that just from what I can see, y'all ain't going to serve the Lord. I don't know what's wrong with y'all. He said, but you're just not acting like you want to serve the Lord. And if you look in Joshua 24 and begin reading that, he talks about all the things God's done and what's expected of them, what should be required of them. They've got a duty. But you know what he says, the most famous way, and you probably got it on your wall somewhere, huh? Joshua 24:15. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know what that is? That's a decision on your part. He said, we have made up our minds. We have decided we're going to serve the Lord. You know what? You need to make that decision. I'm going to serve God. And I'll tell you something. You're going to mess up sometimes. You're going to fail. You're going to stumble. You're going to trip. You're liable to fall. But get up, honey, and make up your mind and say, I might have goofed up, but it's my decision. I'm going on. Amen. Amen. A lot of times when I'm counseling young folks about getting married, one of the first things I talk to them about is love. I talk to them about, you know, being in love. Y'all been in love? Any of y'all? I mean, love, preacher. Woo, hallelujah. I mean, you know, they're all googled-eyed. They're all slobbered up. They all floating around on little okay. Oh, I'm in love. Woo, hallelujah. And I'll ask them, I'll say, what is love? Define love for me. And I don't tell you, it's just about impossible to define that word love. It's hard. Biblically or any other way. But you know, people say, oh, we just love each other. We just can't stand not being around. You know, okay, that's probably part of it. But I want to tell you what love is more than anything. It is a commitment that you keep. It's a decision that you make. And say, you know, a lot of folks forget that little old stuff. They say, oh, we want to repeat those vows. Well, you better remember them. Right? You better remember. What does it say? I promise or pledge or whatever you say to them in those little words in health and in sickness. Let me tell you, honey, sometimes that sickness stuff comes. For richer or for poorer, sometimes that poorer stuff comes. In the good and in the bad. I'm just telling you, those things can come. And you know what it is? It's a decision. We in a mess, honey. Well, I'm just going to walk off and you can have it. No siree. When you're married and you love somebody and you get committed to them, you grab them by the hand and you say, we're going through this together. And buddy, when the Lord saved you, what did He get? Not much. But He made a decision to save you. You should make a decision to say, I'm staying with Him. A preacher, my life ain't going so good. I'm still staying with Him. You know what Job said? Job's sitting there covered from head to toe in sores, lost everything that he's had. And his wife said, won't you just curse God? Quit, give it up. Yeah, this stuff is over. I mean, there's no need in even following God anymore. And he looks at her and said, you speak as the foolish women speak. He said, should we just receive good things at the hand of the Lord and not evil also? He said, the Lord hath given and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? I'm just telling you. Sometimes it gets down there to the ugly part. Ugly. Connie, did it get ugly over there, Brother LaVon, sometimes as far as the sicknesses and all that stuff? And that day y'all went to the hospital, and that's ugly, wasn't it? But you know where she was over there with him? Woo, hallelujah. What about that? Can I tell you, it gets like that. But you know what you do? I made up my mind. I'm sticking with it. I ain't going nowhere. I made a decision. Can I tell you, when you get ready to serve God, hey, and you want to master this thing, you got to realize it's a decision. This is a decision that you've got to make. It's your duty, for one thing. But second of all, you got to decide. You know what some of them soldiers do in the field? Oh, they get out there and they say, I pledge to stand against against the enemies of the United States, and blah, 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 blah. And, yeah, and the bullets start flying, they start running. They say, I've changed my mind. I don't like this. I don't like having a fight. I don't like bullets whizzing. I don't like the possibility of me getting hit. You know what? You're just chicken. And there's a lot of folks today, oh, I want to serve Jesus. But, you know, don't count on me for anything, preacher. You're just a chicken. You're just a backing out. You're just you got a yellow streak in. I mean, something needs to happen. Amen? Yeah. Here, look here. Nod your head like this, because I'm right. Because, I mean, I have to face it every day, too. I'm telling you, it is a decision. It's a duty. Realize that it's your duty. Realize it's a decision. And then, hey, you got to realize it really should be your heart's desire. It should be a desire of your heart. It should be, this is what I want for my life. I mean, we talk about, right now you hear a lot of things going along about the saint so-and-so and saint this and saint that, and the Catholic Church has all these saints. Can I tell you, you're a saint if you're saved. Amen. And it ought to be your delight. It ought to be your joy. It ought to be your desire, as I say, the desire of your heart to want to serve and realize, hey, I'm in this battle and I want the mastery. And it's really a mastery over yourself. Remember, we read here recently where Jesus told those disciples, he said, if a man doesn't hate his father and his mother and his brother and his sister and wife and kids and his own life also, you cannot be my disciple. And he didn't mean you had to hate them as we think of it. But what he meant by that word hate is they got to take a lesser place than me. A lesser place than me. I don't know where you are today, but where is he? Where is he in your rung of things? I'm telling you, there is a battle. There is some conflict that is going on in your life today. And the best thing you can do is get a hold of him and let him do for you something that no one else can. Make up your mind. There's a little old song. When we had the kids going to Mexico here several years ago, Brother Otis Seale. Brother Otis said, I want y'all to learn some songs in Spanish. And the first song that we learned was, I have decided to follow Jesus. And you know what the end of that little song says? No turning back, no turning back. I mean, there ain't no place to turn back, folks. Jesus looked at his disciples when many of them wouldn't follow. He said, will you also go away? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. Hey, he's the only one I know. Brother Ronnie, while we get ready with the song, if you would.